The scripture reading this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. That's Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon he who is distressed, as when at the first the highly esteemed, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and the afterward the more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, in the Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and from the garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and for fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with the judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord in the host will perform it.
What beautiful scripture reading that was. Can never go wrong reading the book of Isaiah. Some 700 years before Jesus Christ came to this earth to save man from their sin. What a beautiful book. What a beautiful man of God Isaiah was. One who realized his spiritual condition. We saw that or see that in Isaiah chapter 6. He said himself that he was a person of unclean lips and dwelt among a people with unclean lips. He wanted to be a man that did the will of the Lord. And remember what the Lord said, who will go on our behalf? Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Isaiah was a man of God that was willing to go and do the will of the Lord. And no wonder, you remember in Isaiah chapter 7, that great prophecy when King Ahab wanted to make a pact with the kings that were around him, Pekah and Rezin. And remember what Isaiah told him when, in Isaiah 7 and verse number 14, that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. That's exactly what took place in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. He was going to be the Immanuel, God with us. And friends, God is definitely with his people. And because of that, friends, we know for a fact that we have a Savior in the Son of Jesus Christ. I said all that to say good morning to y'all. It's good to be here. I'm glad that you're here on this morning as we are going to study the Word of God this morning. All month we have been talking about the gift of the family, the first Sunday. The last 2 weeks we've been talking about the gift of the conscience. This morning I want us to talk about the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ. What a blessing he is to us. And I know he is to you because you're here this morning. When you think about what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 in verse number 15. In that great letter, he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable." The King James Version uses the word unspeakable gift. Jesus Christ is definitely a gift from God. We know that he's a gift of God because Jesus himself said in John 3 and verse number 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That gift is life. That gift is eternal life. And in the demonstration of that great gift, friends, In Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, he died for his people. He died for the world. And one thing we love about God did not wait for his enemies to get right with him before he sent his son to do his will. Remember in that great garden in Genesis chapter 3 when God gave Adam a law. Of every tree you may freely eat except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, we know according to 1 Timothy chapter 2 that Eve was deceived by the serpent. And thus we see that Eve gave Adam that fruit and he ate of that fruit. The Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12 that Adam brought death into the world. He brought sin into the world. But God himself wanted to do something about that. God instituted his plan that was before the foundation of the world. If you will, turn your Bibles to Genesis 3 and look at verse number 15, friends, as you consider this great prophecy, the first prophecy of the scriptures, if you will, that gives us great hope in the Son, Jesus Christ. He is definitely a gift. Notice in the punishment what God says, and I will put enmity, hostility between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Friends, here we see Jesus Christ being prophesied as one that was going to die on the cross, be buried, and be raised on the third day, thus having power over death, power over the devil. Friends, because of that, because of the Son of God, we have a great gift in the person of Jesus Christ. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 and let's look at verse number 14 through 17. In Romans chapter 5, verses 14 through 17, as we continue this great thought process concerning the gift of the Son, Jesus Christ. It's going to take us a little while to get there, but we'll get there, no doubt. In Romans chapter 5, starting at verse number 14, notice what the Bible there says. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. What is Paul saying there real quick? Let me just make this quick point. None of us can sin in the same way that Adam sinned. Adam was the only one that had the law, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We cannot sin in that same way. But we do know that man can sin against God, 1 John 3 and verse number 4, verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, who abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses. Here it is, unto justification, unto being declared right before God. Friends, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave us justification. How? Through his blood, through his life. Verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Friends, let's make a quick point here. When we consider the gift of Jesus Christ, it is because of Jesus that the Lord's church can enjoy justification. It is because of Jesus Christ that the Lord's church can enjoy the abundant grace. It is because of Jesus Christ that the Lord's church can enjoy life in Jesus. Friends, if there is no other gift that you can receive from God, the gift of life, the gift of justification, the gift of grace ought to be enough. There is not enough money in the world. There's not enough gifts in the world that can satisfy us than the gift of Jesus Christ. Justification, abundant grace, life in Christ. But what does this mean? We'll talk about that more in here in a few minutes. But why was Jesus a gift? Let's remind ourselves about what Jesus did. In John chapter 1, in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You drop down to verse number 14, and the Word became flesh. Stop. Let's think about that. We know that the Godhead, we have the first person, the second person, the third person of the Godhead. We have God in the beginning, God. We don't have in the beginning the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. We have in the beginning, God. We have Elohim, if you will. We have the Godhead. We have the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Jesus Christ, as he makes the decision to humble himself and come in the flesh. John 1:14. Let's stop and let's consider that. Oh, the world we live in today is acknowledging tomorrow as the birth of Jesus Christ. Friends, we deny that. However, we're thankful that Jesus Christ is being acknowledged. But friends, I want to say and go on the record that we are not here to promote Jesus in a manger or Jesus on the cross, but Jesus being raised from the dead. And the very fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, that gives us hope, justification, abundant grace, and life. For we know that Jesus Christ, coming from the grave, he had to go to the cross and he had to be born. So we're thankful for those things. But the focus is on Jesus Christ being raised from the dead and him coming in the flesh, being just like one of us. A man, yet without sin. In 1 John 3 and verse number 8, here the Bible clearly teaches us why Jesus came. In 1 John 3 and verse number 8, notice why Jesus came. Friends, this ought to give us great encouragement. What a great gift that God has given us in the Son, Jesus Christ. He that committed sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned it from the beginning. For this reason, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. He was revealed in order that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus have to come to this earth for us, friends? He had to destroy the works of the devil. Go to Hebrews 2 and look at verse number 9 and then drop down to verse number 14 and 15. I know we're looking at a lot of passages, but we need to know, why did Jesus come? Why was he a great gift of God? Why is he the Son of God? In Hebrews 2 and verse number 9, great encouragement in this particular passage. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. Friends, Jesus died that we don't have to die in our sins. Jesus died in order for us to have our focus on life. Jesus died in order for us to be servants of Almighty God, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. What a great gift. You know, it's amazing that the sinner can see Jesus and understand what he has done for him or for her and say, you know what? I want to be a part of a man who gave his life for me. He was willing to suffer and die for me. Drop down to verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, talking about Jesus, himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Friends, you don't have to be afraid to die. Let me go ahead and say this. We was in Colorado last week, Brother Dennis, and they took us on these high mountains, Brother Reed, and those high mountains, I'll be honest with you, Brother wasn't too pleased with that. I'm just telling you, Brother wasn't too pleased with the high mountains. So as we're driving, of course, I'm driving. I'm in the middle lane. I'm in both lanes driving. I'm not on the edge. And that was how I was thinking about this. I thought about, you know what? One thing I know for a fact, that Jesus Christ came to take away death. I just don't want to die like this. Let me say this. Friends, as Christians, we don't have to walk on the edge or drive on the edge in order to experience death. We can walk on the edge of sin. Jesus came to destroy that.
He came that we may have a perspective on walking with him. Notice verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. When man sinned in the garden, God cast him out of the garden. And the next thing you know, man was on his way of dying physically. Friends, we don't have to die spiritually. We're the Lord's people. We're the church. We have been called out of sin. God has given us a great gift. Jesus Christ was manifested to take away the power of the devil and to take away death, which means that we don't have to die spiritually anymore. One day we might have to press a dying pillow. Our physical body may go to the grave unless Jesus Christ comes first. But friends, we know for a fact that Jesus Christ came to take death away from us. And because of that, we don't have an enemy.
Jesus took care of our enemy. Oh, the Son of God, he's so powerful. I want us to stop and think about that before we go any further. Our God is a powerful God. Can we wrap our mind around that? Can we appreciate that? Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5 as we continue this thought process of Jesus Christ being a gift. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 and 7. Notice what your Bible here has to say, friends. Because as we're thinking about this, we're not alone. God has taken care of our enemy. But notice verse number 6 and 7. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Jesus Christ died for our sins. We're his people. And because of that, friends, we have great hope and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We were without strength. We were without hope. Yet God himself said, I'll take care of that. Jesus said, I'll die for them. I'll give my life for them. I'll give my blood for them. And friends, because of that, we're faithful. And we're grateful to God. And we always should be grateful. This morning, as I was thinking about this, I said, I really want to encourage my brethren. I want to pump them up for the Lord. I want them to realize that you are someone in Christ because of the blood of Christ. I want to encourage us to go out and tell people who are lost in their sins, you know what? Jesus Christ died for you too. You can have what I have today. You can have the forgiveness of sins. You can have the abundant grace. You can have life in Christ. I believe sometimes as the people of God, when we read the scriptures, we don't gather the encouragement and the spiritual confidence and the spiritual stamina that we need sometimes from the Word of God. If we did, our lives will be the better. We will have a greater focus. Again, going back to that mountain. And we went up there one day. I just need to throw this in here real quick. And it was snowing that day. When we got up there, it wasn't snowing. It just kind of sprinkling a little bit. But once we got out there, the wind was blowing and snowing bad. And I'm like, uh-oh, we in trouble. And I thought about that. Friends, sometimes when we're walking this Christian life and it begins to snow on us, we get scared. Let's not forget about the sun. I'm not talking about the S-U-N, I'm talking about the S-O-N. Sometimes we forget about keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the gift of God. He's the Son of God. He's our friend. He's our Lord. He's our master. So who is this gift? Let's look at the Old Testament. Let's consider this gift. For when we consider it, we understand that he is the one that bound the strong man. He's the one that gives gifts to the church. But also, friends, Isaiah chapter 7 in verse number 14, as we related to earlier, let's look at this particular verse real quick and then we'll look at some other passages. Because Isaiah was one who understood who this messianic prophet was. Notice what the Bible here says. In Isaiah 7 in verse number 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. God with us. Isaiah knew this about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, notice this particular passage as was read in our hearing. But I want to make a couple of comments as we are looking at it. For unto us a child is born, notice, unto us a son is given. Only God could have given the Son of God. And notice something about this great Son. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Can you imagine these words being said some 700 years before Jesus Christ came? The encouragement that the people of God should have received when they heard these words that a Savior is coming to the world and he is identified as Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Friends, what a great God we serve. But then notice Isaiah chapter 28. And look at Isaiah chapter 28. In Isaiah 28, starting at verse number 14, we see something else about this great Son of God. Wherefore, starting at verse number 14, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Notice the rebuke there. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and with hell, and we are at agreement with the overflowing scourge shall pass through. It shall not come unto us, for we have lies. We have made lies of our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. Notice what God is going to say here, friends. Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know Peter quotes this. He talks about Jesus being that tried stone, that precious cornerstone. He's going to be the one that's going to hold everything together, Brother Paul. Jesus Christ is going to be the one that's going to hold it all together. He's going to be the one that you can build on top of, and he's going to be the one that's going to make sure that nothing gets around him. Look at Isaiah 52. Notice this messianic prophet as he continues to talk about this great Son of God. In Isaiah 52, starting at verse number 12. Notice what the Bible there says. Isaiah 52. Starting at verse number 12. For ye shall not go without haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you. And the God of Israel will be your reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage, talking about his body, Brother Pope Joy, was so marred more than any other man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Oh, the blood of Christ is going to be for all nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Who had believed our report? And to whom had the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, talking about Jesus, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Notice what Isaiah says about this great Son of God. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friends, we are healed because of the stripes of Jesus Christ, because of the Son of God. Let us never forget that. Let us never get so high-minded and prideful to the point that we forget about what Jesus had done for us. Oh, they say Jesus is the reason for the season. Friends, Jesus is always the reason for every season. Jesus is the one that we go through to get to the Father. If anything, our focus is on Jesus Christ all year long. Notice verse number 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. Return everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, not us, the iniquity of us all. Jesus had to take on our burden of sin 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 and 21 tells us that. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Peter quotes this verbatim from Isaiah 53. Friends, notice what the Son of God did for us. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was there deceit in his mouth, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see, notice this, friends, he shall see the travail of his soul. God was going to see the travail of the Son of God on the cross. He's going to give us a gift. And Jesus is going to be that one that was going to be willing to give his life for us, give his soul for us. And not for those who love him, but even his enemies, Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through verse number 8. Yet, notice verse number 11. And shall be satisfied by his knowledge, shall my righteous servant justify many. For he shall bear their iniquities. You notice what the Lord did for us? There will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he had poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Friends, let us never forget what the Lord did for us. As the Lord's people, we promote this message. As the Lord's people, we promote the message of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, being the Emmanuel, being the offspring of God, being the Son of God, and being that mighty one of God. Friends, because of that, we have great hope in Jesus Christ. We have great hope of eternal life. We have great hope in the confidence of having great character for God. So who is the Son of God? Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5 as we take a quick perusal through some passages that teach us who is the Son of God. Why is he such a gift to us? Number one, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, the reason why Jesus is a great gift is because he is a mediator. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Why is Jesus a great gift? Why is the Son of God a gift to us? Because he's a go-between. He's the one that goes to God on our behalf. He states our case with God. He is the one that tells God to give us another shot. Give us another chance. Give him or her more time. Why is he a great gift? Notice 1 John 2, the first two verses. Why is Jesus Christ a great gift to us? My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Here it is. And he is the satisfaction. Your version may say propitiation. A Jew back during this particular time wouldn't need a dictionary like we do today to look up propitiation. They knew what propitiation meant. They knew about an animal that had to be sacrificed, whether it was a goat or whether it was a sheep or a bullock. They understood that it was the satisfaction to God on their behalf. Jesus Christ was the satisfaction. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Why is Jesus Christ a gift to us, friends? Notice Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we see that Jesus is a gift to us because he teaches us humility. Y'all put your seatbelts on. You might need it on this one. In Philippians chapter 2, and I know some of us need this one. Why? Because sometimes when life gets too good or get too bad, we get too proud of ourselves. Jesus teaches us that we need to be a humble people. Why? Because it took humility for him to do what he did. Starting at verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, here it is, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. Hold on. The Son of God takes upon the idea of a servant. Jesus Christ takes on the role of a servant. Yes, he did. Why is Jesus a gift? Because Jesus teaches us humility. Notice what he says. And being in fashion, found in fashion, verse number 8, as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. What a great gift. Jesus not only teaches us humility, but he even teaches us how to die. Even unto death, even the death of the cross. Friends, if you want a worthy death, as a child of God, if you want a worthy death, die because of the cross. Luke 9 and verse number 23. If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. How long? Every day. What a worthy death that is. Jesus teaches us how to die. Verse number 9, wherefore God has highly exalted him. Hold on, Jesus. You take upon flesh to be a man? Yes. Why? So I can be manifested to take away the power of the devil and take away death. Okay. So you take upon the role of a servant? Yes. Why? Because I'm doing the will of my Father, and plus I came to seek and save the lost. So you take on the role here of a servant so you can save mankind? Yes. But also because of your obedience to the Father, Jesus, God is going to highly exalt you? Yes. Yes.
We live in a world today that men and women are exalting themselves instead of waiting on the Father to exalt them. This is not a message. This portion of the message is not, it's not well taken in the world that we live in. We like to believe that we pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We like to believe that we have done this by my own power. Deuteronomy 8, verse 18, God is the one that giveth thee power to get wealth that he may establish his kingdom. I think about that, and I think about how Jesus lived his life, and God gave us the gift of his Son, and how Jesus was obedient to the Father, and then and only then God raised him up, set him on his right hand. He said, sit thou right here till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Wow. That's the God that we serve. That's the gift right there. God didn't send his Son so people could just marvel at God and marvel at Jesus and live the same life that they were living before they came to Christ. No, sir, and no, ma'am. God sent Jesus to take away the power of death and give us an example to look at, and we can die and go back and be back with the Father. What a great God we serve. What a great gift. There are some things underneath the tree today that you might open up tomorrow. It won't compare to the gift that was given to us. Oh, when God unwrapped this gift, even the angels were amazed when God unwrapped this gift. What a powerful, powerful gift of God. That at the name of Jesus, verse number 10, every knee should bow. Things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Friends, why is this such a great gift for us? Because he's the one that we listen to. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, he's the one we listen to. We listen to Jesus in everything. Friends, if you ever are misdirected, if you ever lack wisdom, read the directions. Don't lean to your own understanding. Don't lean to your own gift of knowledge. Lean to this. This is what separates us. This is the beautiful, beautiful gift of God. Not just his son, but his word that he has given us. But one day, I'm going to end with this. One day, Jesus Christ is going to put off that gift of sonship. What do we mean by that? I want us to think about this. Jesus Christ came to suffer, bleed, and die on the cross to take away sin, to take away the power of the devil, to be our intercessor, our mediator, our go-between, if you will. But one day Jesus Christ is not going to have to be the Son of God. One day he is not going to have to be the Son of God because there will no longer be a reason for him to intercede. No longer a time for him to have to mediate. No longer for him to have to be the hope of eternal life, Colossians chapter 1. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse number 23, turn your Bibles there so we can take away some of that bewilderment. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse number 23. Notice what your Bible there says. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruit, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, talking about the end of time, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God. That's the church, Matthew 16, 18, 19. Even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. Jesus Christ is not going to have all rule, all authority, and all power. Why? Because at one time, God gave him that rule and that authority and that power. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. He's going to put that all down. Why? Because the work is now done, and now I'm about to give the kingdom back to him, the one who it belongs to. Verse 25. For he must reign. He must rule. Talking about Jesus. How long shall Jesus rule? Till he had put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Just last week, my aunt died. You know, if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if he's not ruling, that means people are not dying. But as long as Jesus is ruling, listen to this, people are still dying. Do you know why we can prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he's the gift of God and he's ruling today? Because people are still pressing a dying pillow. He's still dying. But one day, all death will be ended. One day, Jesus Christ is going to be ruling. I'm sorry. He's going to be judging all men, John 5, 21 and 22. And every knee is going to stand before him and give an account, Romans 14. And because of that, everybody who hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you a ruler over many. You're going to be with God throughout eternity. And those who hear, depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity, they're going to be in eternal damnation. Friends, we should not have to go to eternal damnation. Why? Because of what Jesus did as being our gift. Verse 27. For he had put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is manifested that he is accepted, which he did put all things under his feet. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Oh, what is God telling us through Paul? The sonship will be submitted to the Father. Jesus will go back to being the all in all with the Godhead. Friends, what a great thing that God did by giving us his Son. What a great gift. And I want us to think about this. Let us go out there and let's talk to people about the Son of God today. Let's talk about the Son of God the rest of this week. And let's tell people, you know, the Son of God came for you. Jesus sent the Son of God. The Son of God is a great gift. He's a free gift. But you have to do something in order to access this gift. What do you have to do? You have to trust that Jesus is the Son of God, Matthew chapter 16. You have to believe that he is the Son of God. You have to do what Jesus himself said in Mark chapter 16:15-16, repent and be baptized. You have to believe that Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. Friend, let's go out there and let's talk to people about the Son of God. God will save them from their sins. But to us, who have already believed that Jesus is the Son of God, what a great gift we have. You know, if we got nothing under the tree, we got enough when we obeyed the gospel. If God did nothing else, he has done enough by giving us eternal life, abundant grace, life in Christ. If God did nothing else for us. I was talking to a young man last night, and we were just talking about a homeless guy that was outside of a restaurant. And he said, I walked out and was cold. I saw that guy and was very sick. He said, I was compelled to give him my jacket. Gave him a gift. You know, we're in sin. God was compelled to give us his son. To cover us. We're covered in blood. No wonder we need to be immersed. Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27. So we can be immersed in Christ. But the admitted people that have been baptized into Christ have clothed your sins with Christ. We needed some comfort because we were shivering in sin. God took away the shiver by giving us his son. Well, Isaiah knew what he was talking about. Jeremiah knew what he was talking about. God knew what he was talking about. Let's go out there and let's talk to people about this.